Now join me as we read from the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Exodus, chapter 6, specifically verses 1, but we shall read verses 1 to 9. Exodus, chapter 6, specifically verses 1, but let's read 1 to 9. God promises deliverance. It's in the ESV. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say, therefore, to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from the slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outreached arm and with a great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptian. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send you out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." So says the word of the Lord, and we shall all forever we live with it. Amen. Now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a bit complicated passage. But when I read through this, especially verses 1, it brought joy in my heart. It brought a kind of a satisfaction in my heart. It brought a kind of relief in my heart to realize that the Lord, He is in charge. To realize that the Lord, He is in control. He is the mighty God. He knows. He is infinitive. That brought joy. But let me tell you something. I once heard of a minister or an evangelist, a very gifted man. This man went to a place, a village, and he started preaching. A very powerful man of God, he started preaching. He preached for weeks. He pitched a tent and he preached for weeks. He prayed and he preached. He prayed and he preached. But then after that, there was no fruits. No one got converted. Then he left. A week after, came another one in the same village. Then he preached. Many people got converted. The man got sick, got shattered, got discouraged. What went wrong with me? I did all what I was supposed to do. I toiled, I prayed, I fasted, nothing. But he forgot one thing, that salvation is in the hands of God. Not in man's hands. Man is just but an instrument of God. And that's what brought Moses to his knees. Discouraged, desperation, the feeling of failure, the feeling that I did not accomplish what I'm called for. And let me summarize my message in this way. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. We can remember this is where this is some of the words Paul once spoke. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now, from the text that we have just read, God says to Moses a very interesting word. He opened up with a very interesting word. Now, in other words, all the way God was quiet watching what Moses actually was doing. God was watching his actions being in play. Now he comes to Moses and then he says to Moses, now you, Moses, you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. I hope you're still with me. Really? Are you sleeping? This is not normal. My congregation, we'll always speak, but then I don't know what kind of... Dr. Brian, this congregation of yours is not good. But listen to this. This brings comfort to me. Now, God speaks to Moses, and he says to Moses, Moses, now, at this moment, now God says to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Now, the question is, what brings about God to say this? What is the background of this whole thing? Why God all of a sudden says to Moses, now you, Moses, you will see my actions. You will see my name being in action. What is God saying actually in this? Now this takes us back to chapter 5 actually. It takes us to chapter 5. And now a little bit we will look at what has happened. What drove this wedding? God says, now you will see what I will do. Now, this is as a result of what Moses actually did. It's as a result of what Moses said to God. Moses in chapter 5, verses 22, said to the Lord, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Now he cries to the Lord. You called me from the burning bush. You introduced yourself to me to bring the message to your people, to bring your message to Pharaoh. But now all what I've done was in vain. And it's true. Dear brothers and sisters, Moses, together with Aaron, did go to Pharaoh in chapter 5. They did go to Pharaoh 2 or 3 times. They did go to him, knock on his door. And what did they say? God says, leave his people that they may go and serve him. Moses speaking to God. Moses turning to God with tears, with disappointments, discouraged, fear, and failure to move further. And yes, he did go to Pharaoh, and he said to Pharaoh, in the name of the Lord, let my people go, that they may behold a feast to me in the wilderness. But the king of the Egyptians said, no. Go back to your work. In actual fact, you've got too much time to play. And that was like a blow on the face of Moses. Then he goes for the second time. Let us go on a journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and or with a sword. Then the king said, no. They are going nowhere. Now just imagine. And most of us, we love prayer and fasting. Just imagine. Study hard, pray hard to deliver a message. But all what you see, it goes in vain. Truly, it will bring discouragement. Truly, it will bring disappointment. Truly, it will bring questions of uncertainty in your call. And with that, then you can understand what Moses was going through. You can understand the sadness in the heart of Moses, being chased out of the palace, and not only being chased out of the palace, but extra work added to the people of Israel because of the message of Moses. As Pharaoh said, from now on, you don't give them straw anymore to do bricks. They must go and look for it. But I still want the same quantity. And moreover, they were beaten very hard. They were lashed very hard because of the message of Moses. Do you think it's easy? Do you think it's just a walk in a park? To deliver a message of God to such a kind of a person? And we might sometimes come across such hardened people. We might sometimes come across such people that we spread the message and we feel like we are hitting a rock. And the question that I normally ask myself is, whose decision it is to change the heart of a man? And whose decision it is to harden the heart of man? That's God. And with this, no wonder why Moses then turned to the Lord with a cry and with a frustration. Lord, you said you are going to deliver this people. You promised to use me in your hands as your tool to deliver them out of bondage. Lord, all it came to nothing. I have done what you told me to do, but you haven't blessed it. You haven't even released your people from Pharaoh. It's a failure, what I see. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God shows his strength in our weaknesses, in our limitation of life. Then God shows his strength. As the living God, as the Father of all, and before we can come to the words that the Lord said to Moses, think of this. This was a real captivity. And whatever the Israelites were going through, that really makes me actually sometimes wonder. Everything was happening with the permission of the Lord. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He allowed it all to happen. And with one reason, that him as God will at the end reign. Not us. Not Moses, but him and him alone. Because we sometimes in our ministries, it's all about us. It's all about how many people we have converted. It's all about how many people we have led to the altar call. It's all about how many people we have seen, we have shown Christ. But sometimes we lie. It's all about Christ. It's all about God. Who changes the hearts, who hardens the hearts. We are only instruments in the hands of the Lord to deliver the living will of God. And Israel was just in the hands of the Lord. All was happening while the Lord was watching. And he knew what he was going to do. And that was beyond the ability of Moses and his call. It's just like our salvation from sin, slavery, from the desire of the flesh, from the power of the devil. It was never with our strength, but with the power of God through Christ. As Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave growth. That blesses me every day. If I don't see something happening, and I look at myself, then I feel like a failure, and then I say to God, God, I've done all what you have called me to do. I preached the word faithfully. I prayed for your people. It's in your hands. I can't change their hearts. But you can. Change their hearts. Through this message that you bring to them. Now with that cry, now we come to the answer of God. Now God says to Moses, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out. And with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. God's strength, it's made perfect in our weakness. Brothers and sisters, it's very important that we all understand that salvation for the people or the exodus of the people that we preach to, it's not in our hands. And it's not in the power of the preaching that we might bring, but it is in the power of God. That always brings comfort to me. God, you are an awesome God. For even though I'm an instrument in your hand, you using me, you are the one ultimately changing the situations. When Moses finally realized all what I've done, or when finally Moses realized that Pharaoh, he will never leave the people of God to go, then he turns to God. Then God reinforces his promises to him. Then God promises him, I will release my people. And you will witness that. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Now God moves the attention away from Moses, his servant, and puts the whole spotlight directly on him as God. Just like what John chapter 3:30 says, he, Jesus, must be greater and I must be less. God moves the spotlight from Moses. Now it is God now who is visible. Now Moses has done whatever he is supposed to do. But now God says, I will do my action. This is something that brings comfort, because now the Lord says to Moses, now he explained who he is. Now he says that now in verses 2, I am the Lord. I am who I am. I fulfill my promises. I don't change. I reign as the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name as Lord was not known to them. You know, the name of God has his character behind it. The names of God explain who God is, how powerful he is, how omniscient, omnipotent he is. The names of God explains how great he is. Now the Lord says, I did not show Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob what the true content of this name, Jehovah, Lord, really was. They only know me as the Almighty God who does wonders. Now God says to Moses, I am the Lord. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Self-existing God. God who does not need anyone to fulfill his plans. I will do what I said I will do. I will make certain that you know from my actions who really I am, as I am. God Almighty. The Lord who reigns. The Jehovah who reigns forever. As I said, when I looked at this and then I saw God, honestly speaking, your name has a meaning. But you know, then I thought of something in my brain. When I was growing up, there was a child in Tsonga. They named the child Meringo. Is there anyone who's Tsonga here? Meringo simply tells Melekwa, ne? I don't know what is it in English. But it's whatever goes with horror. But Meringo, Melekwa, ne? Strange, funny things, ne? And they named the child that name. The child did not live for 2 weeks. The child died. And I asked my grandmother, where's the child? And you know, when we were growing, they said, no. The father and the mother took him somewhere. He will be back one day. But then we realized, no, this is not going to work. We saw a black car coming. And that black car, we know what it means. But then when we grew up, she said, you know, sometimes don't just name your children's names. So Tsona Siri Libito Libik is wrong. A name sometimes goes with a curse, or it goes with a blessing. Sometimes we have to be very careful what we name. But the name of God, when you read it, when you study it, it brings comfort. It brings joy. It brings promise. It brings blessings. It brings hope. Once you realize the character behind this name, then you can see I am nothing but a child of God. I live and I survive because of His mercy. I am in this ministry. I am in this family. I am in this church because of His mercy. Now, God says to Moses, I am Jehovah. I am the Lord. I am whom I am. As I've introduced myself to you, when you ask, whom shall I say you are? I am whom I am. The Alpha and the Omega. And I will do what I promised. I am the God who fulfills His promises. And this, Moses must go and tell the people of Israel, who were discouraged, who were unhappy, and must go and tell them that I am the God Almighty, the Jehovah, will release you out of this bondage. My fellow brothers and sisters, if it doesn't convince you, don't go and preach it. If it doesn't go right in your heart, don't say it. Because you don't have a meaning. But the Lord says to Moses, I am whom you are. Therefore go and tell them. The I am says this. I will release you with a mighty hand, and you will witness that. And all of us, we know what really happened. We know how the Lord released him. We all know the history. The I am fulfilled it. Now, that's what the Lord did for us in Christ Jesus. Remember, the Bible says also in the book of Ephesians 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the courses of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of the disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desire of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Maybe some of you think you have saved many. Maybe some of you think, I'm a powerful preacher. I've brought many to the altar call. Be careful that you don't get discouraged one day. Trust and obey. For there is no other way than to be happy in Jesus. As His servant, as you dish out His word, yes, you will be discouraged. But when you turn to the Lord, surely he will comfort. Surely he will bring his promises to life, that you may understand them and be able to deliver them to his people, to bring comfort, joy, and trust in the living God. Salvation, it's not in your hands. What is in your hands is the word of the Lord. Preach it in season and out of season. As you plant, the Lord will bring growth out of that. But as I come to an end, my dear fellow brothers and sisters, when we lay our calling in God's hand, let me put it this way, when we lay our life in God's hand, for he called us, we will understand our weaknesses, our limitations. Then we can learn to trust our Jehovah, the Lord who called us and uses us as his instrument, the Lord who used Moses in a tremendous way. And we can humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And surely, surely, we shall see his wonders happening through the preaching of the gospel. May this word bring comfort. May this word bring a revival in our minds and in our hearts as we preach the word of God. When we get discouraged for no fruit at all, turn to him and tell him he has the answer for our limitations. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, thank you. We feel you right in our hearts as you speak to us, as you transform our minds each and every day through your word, as you transform our hearts for us to be able to follow you each and every day. For who we are, it is because of your grace. It is because of your love. It is because of your providence. You don't need us actually to fulfill whatever you want to fulfill. For you are the creator. But thank you, God, for using us. Thank you, God, for making us the instruments, the broken vessels, in delivering this wonderful gospel. And when we get discouraged, when we get frustrated, when we are heavily laden due to the earthly needs, sicknesses, physical needs, emotional needs, may you heal us, O Lord. May you revive your promises in us, that we may see them alive before us, that we may see them as instruments that brings life to us, and that we may be able to go and preach with hope and with confidence and with trust. And I still pray for my brothers and sisters here. Father, you know everything that they need in their lives. You know their financial needs, their family needs, their studies, their work environment. May you be with them, Lord. May you strengthen them. May you walk with them. Encourage them, Lord. Still pray for the principal, to give him wisdom and to give him strength to continue leading in the fear of your name. And all the management staff, Lord, we surrender them to you. For you called us in this kingdom to be the instruments of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you, Lord. Amen.